Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez.
Live now every week on Fridays.
Talking Junk.
A multitude of professionals in different aspects, different walks of life.
You have to come on and talk junk like a normal person.
Welcome to Talking Junk, coming to you guys live every Friday night from Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, and Periscope. I'm here tonight by myself, yes, again, but Talon will most likely be on in a little while. Let me just get right into it and introduce you to our incredible guest tonight, Mr. Doug Cartwright. How you doing tonight, Doug?
What's up, Jason?
Not much, man, not much. I can't call it out here. Getting ready for this tropical storm we're about to have.
Coming through, huh?
Yeah, it's coming through. So if my internet gets a little choppy, it's because of the weather.
Hey, it's a perfect summer night here in Salt Lake City, so I'm not no complaints over here.
Lucky you, man. I'm about to have to drive over there to you once the storm comes. But why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Doug Cartwright. I'm the founder of The Daily Shifts. I am an author as well. I just wrote my first book called Holy Shit, We're Alive. I'm an investor. And I'm just an experiencer of life. My book just launched 2 days ago, which was really, really exciting. Didn't really have much expectation for it because I've never launched a book before. But it caught fire first day on social media, and we hit number one Amazon bestseller our first day, which was
wow.
Yeah, it was really remarkable. Feat. Thank you. So we're really excited about that. Cam and having a little bit of a victory lap this weekend with my media team celebrating. So we're really happy. We got it right after this. I said, hey guys, we got to hold off. I got to do Talking Junk, and then we're meeting all downtown to get a drink. So drinks on me tonight.
So take a shot for us too, man.
Well, for sure, for taking a shot with you guys. Yeah, thanks, man. It was really fun. We threw a really badass party up in Midway, Utah, which is just right outside of Park City. It was kind of festive. We had a really cool DJ and art installations and food and music, and it's kind of like a vibe hangout session. It was a good time. So we're all celebrating.
I'm going to take a shot for you right now.
You got to take a shot for me right now. I've got.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
So you know what's really nice about that? I'm glad you're taking a shot for me is because in May, I realized I had to put the clamps down on this book launch because I still had to, you know, hail the climb. There we go. Thank you, my friend. So I've been completely sober since May. And wow. I'm breaking the sober streak tonight, right after Talking Junk.
Jumping off the wagon, huh?
Uh-huh. I got to go take a celebratory shot with the team for a hitting Amazon bestseller.
Well, let's not say you're jumping off the wagon in after Talking Junk because they're going to think we made you. Get back.
This decision was already
made. Wasn't us. It was your accomplishments.
The decision was already made. So thank you, my friend. Cheers to you. If I had one, I'd be joining you. I'm about 45 minutes away from that myself.
All right. Now, I think I read somewhere that you were a former millionaire.
Former and then not millionaire. And then per the luck of the universe, I hit it big in Bitcoin last year. So we're back on the track. But in my early 20s, I found door-to-door sales, which is a really unique industry. It's actually really hot in Orlando because of solar. Florida is a hot market for solar sales. And so you're seeing a lot of young people in the door-to-door space in Florida making a lot of money. And actually most people I work with one-on-one in my private clients are door-to-door sales reps. So basically what happened to me when I was 19, 20 years old, I was going to the University of Utah here in Salt Lake City. And I kind of always heard about this door-to-door sales game with uncapped commissions. And it's a unique market because in Utah, most people are Mormon. And growing up Mormon, you go on a two-year service mission. So I don't know if you've seen like the Book of Mormon musical or whatnot.
Weren't you Mormon at one point?
Yeah, I grew up Mormon. So I went on my Mormon mission. And so I went to New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand, which was incredible. I'm back. And then like these sales companies recruit these guys who've been Mormon missionaries because they've like, they're used to rejection. They're used to knocking doors and they're used to getting said no to. So they have really tough skin. And so these companies like solar, pest control, alarms, recruit these former missionaries to go sell door to door. and there's uncapped commissions. And so you can make, you know, $600-$700 to $1,000 a sale. Wow. And I started making, and then it's also a pyramid scheme. So it's like, you've got you at the top, and then you make money on everyone you recruit. And so I had a pretty big network as well. So I like got super obsessed with sales when I was 20 and mastered the sale, mastered the door to door, learned to hustle, learned to grind, learned to recruit, learned to lead. And I went, you know, from being a driver at a printing company in college, you know, making $14 an hour, made, you know, $30,000 in college. And then the next year I made close to $300,000. And wow, that was the start of like, okay, my life will never be the same. And so I got caught up, in that scale, and then, you know, was making 400, 500, 600, you know, the following years. And by the time I was 24, I made over $1 million. And I spent it all. I blew it.
What you blew it on?
So if you were, let me ask you this, if you're 23 years old and you're taking home $600,000 a year, what are you spending your money on?
Booze, drugs, and women.
Yeah. So I wasn't doing the drugs.
And cars.
Yeah. So the first thing I did is I went to the Mercedes dealership downtown and got a $116,000 C63 AMG.
And can I assume that you don't have that anymore?
I don't have that anymore. Do you want to know what I drive now?
What you drive now?
A Nissan Rogue.
It's not bad. What year?
It's not bad. I like it. I don't even know. I'm not a car guy. What happened is I realized in this journey of like self awakening later that happened in my later 20s, I realized the only reason I was into cars was because I wanted other people to think I was cool.
Usually how it goes when you're younger.
I don't care about cars. Like I'm just not a car guy. You know, there's some people that are like car guys.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother's like that.
Yeah. Like they're car guys. Like they have the car, they know exactly what make, model, year. They can flip open the engine. They can tell you everything about it. Like, I mean, they just love the sound. You know, that's not me. I have no idea about cars. I can't change my own oil. Like
me either. Yeah. So we got that in common. I'm very car illiterate.
Yeah. So this is not my thing. This is not my thing. So
go ahead. There's a little bit of a delay. So no worries.
I just realized, you know, so I started buying what I thought I was supposed to be. So, you know, young, wealthy 20-year-old, you're going to go buy what you, cause you don't know what you want. I didn't know what I really wanted. And so I bought what I thought I was supposed to want. So I got the car, I got this badass condo. I was, you know, I love sports. I'm a big sports guy. And so I like went nuts on sports stuff. So I'm sitting front row at the NBA Finals. I'm sitting front row at the Super Bowl. I'm sitting front row at the World
stuff,
Series.
Expensive stuff?
Not really memorabilia, more the experience. So it's like, let's fly in, you know, to Dallas, stay at the nicest hotel, eat at the nicest restaurant, go to the game with the best seats, go to the after party, then fly home the next day.
Okay.
So it was more of like, it was adventurous. So it's like, I remember there was a couple of times I'd be on my couch. You know, I distinctively remember it was probably 2015. It was San Francisco Giants were in the playoffs. They were playing the Cardinals. Game two was like crazy. And then game three was the next day. I was with a buddy. I'm like, dude, we should go to game three tomorrow. He's like, okay. So let's pull out your phone. You buy the flight, you buy the hotel, you buy the tickets to the game, you fly out the next morning. And while you're there, you're staying at the nicest hotel. You're eating at the nicest restaurants. The climax of the whole event was
living the life.
I was living the life. I thought I was living the life. I wasn't living the life. I thought I was. The climax of it was 2015. I flew down to Phoenix for the Super Bowl and had a hard time finding a ticket. Last minute, a friend of a friend and knew someone who had tickets to Dan Snyder's suite. He owns the Redskins.
Wow.
And it was the Seahawks-Patriots game. It was the game where the Seahawks threw the interception at the 1-yard line. Pats. Okay. Yeah. So I buy a ticket to Dan Snyder's seat and suite. And my friend I was going with was a member. He's half Navajo Indian. And so his dad's like a member of the Navajo Indian tribe. So apparently these tickets were given to the Navajo tribe. And like, it was while they were still the Redskins before they were the football team. So they were like trying to be politically correct.
Yeah.
So we show up to this
before
booth,
cancel culture took hold of America.
Before cancel culture came. And we walk up to this booth and there's a bodyguard in front of the door and we show him our tickets. And he's like, you guys can't come in here. We're like, we have tickets. And he's like, where did you get these tickets from? And I'm like, we're from the Navajo. We're here representing the Navajo Indian tribe because my brother's or my friend's dad was in the Navajo tribe. And then immediately he was like, oh, yes, come on in. What do you guys need? Drinks, food, whatever. So I go and I sit down in my seat in the suite, and sitting next to me, shoulder to shoulder, is Kevin Durant. Wow. And so I'm hanging out with KD at the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, we go to the W. We get VIP tickets. We're right front row with Drake. Like, I've got selfies with me and Drake. And so it's just, I was just got caught up in that life. I thought it was so fun. And it was the turning
point. You got to admit, it must have been a little fun.
Oh, we were having a good time.
Right? Yeah.
In the experience, it was fun, right? But at the end of the day, you're always back home by yourself.
And then you're yearning for more.
And then you have that inner dialogue, right? You can't escape. You can distract yourself with the sports game. You can distract yourself with the car, but you still got to meet yourself in the mirror every night.
Back to reality.
And the turning point was 2 weeks after that. And this is after I've done World Series, NBA Finals, multiple Super Bowls. I was on the sideline for Alabama, Auburn, Iron Bowl. Like, 2 weeks later after that, the NBA All-Star Game was in New York. And I remember flying, because of course I'm going to go to the NBA All-Star Game, right? So I'm flying from Salt Lake City to go to New York to go to the All-Star Game. And I remember thinking on that flight, it was the first time I had this conscious awareness. I was like, shit, the only reason I'm going to this game is so I can take a picture and post it on Instagram. It's the only reason. Like, I don't care about the NBA All-Star Game
at all. It's all about the likes.
And I was chasing the likes. I was chasing the fame. I was chasing the validation. I was chasing this life. I was living the life I wanted people to think I was living. Right. I wasn't living the life I truly was living. I wasn't enjoying the life I actually was, but I was trying to live a life that I thought I was supposed to be living.
You was living a lie.
Yeah, 100%. And it looked cool. My Instagram looked cool. And I did have moments that were really fun. Like, I wouldn't go back and take any of those back, but you know, 95% of my day was, I don't know who I was. I don't know what's going on. And then, you know, you have these 5%. And that's what's so tricky about this experience, is that these outer experiences, these cars, these materialistic things, whatever you want to call them, they work for a very short time. You get a quick hit. Like, when you get a new car, man, that is so cool. But after a while, you feel exactly the same when you're driving your Toyota Corolla as you're driving the Mercedes. It wears off. So you get this 100%. Quick hit, right? It works. And that's what's so hard about it, is that it works for a little bit. And then later, you know, a couple years later, I really was victim to what I call the success void, which is, the success void is when my life looked successful. Jason, if I were to hand you a resume of my life on paper, you would read that resume and you'd be like, this is a successful life. But there was this deep, deep void inside of me, and I kind of puttered in this gray area, not really knowing, kind of a lost soul for the next 3 or 4 years after that, until June 10th, 2017. And that's the night my life changed, completely changed overnight. My entire trajectory of my life, everything never was the same ever again in one night.
And how did that happen?
So I'm in, like I was saying, I'm in this middle ground, not sure what to do with my life.
Yeah, you're stuck in limbo.
Stuck in limbo. What's the purpose? What's the point of all this? I'm basically having a midlife crisis at 27. I've made a lot of money. I kind of spent it all. Didn't fix anything for me. And I come across this book. I think it's on my bookshelf over here. It's called Stealing Fire. And the book is about flow state, how to get in the zone, how to get into flow. Whether that's you're a musician or an artist or a gamer, when you're just in the zone and things just are coming easy and you lose track of time and you're just like in your own element. So I pick up this book thinking, oh, this will be great for sales. Like, I'm a sales leader, I'm a manager. This will be great for me. Yeah, that's the book right there. And it gets to a point in the book where they talk about psychedelic drugs. And growing up Mormon, you're kind of taught that every drug is basically heroin times meth times a million. And if you do it one time, you'll be addicted and be homeless and die. Like,
holy shit.
That's just kind of like,
it's basically the myth of marijuana being the gateway drug, but
yeah,
on steroids.
Yeah, so you like, I didn't understand classifications of drugs. I didn't know that there was like the difference between a psychedelic and an opiate. I didn't know that because I was just, there's this blanket around all drugs that all drugs are evil, and if you do them one time, you'll be addicted for life and die. And so I'm in the reading this book, and they're talking about the benefits of for psychedelic therapy done with professional set and setting with psilocybin mushrooms and LSD and ayahuasca and MDMA and all the beautiful results it has with done with proper intention. And I remember I'll never forget reading the quote from Steve Jobs where he said doing LSD was one of the most profound experiences of my life. Cause I'm thinking, holy shit, here's Steve Jobs. Here's someone who actually changed the world. Like he changed the way we live as humans. He changed the trajectory of the entire human race. And he's one of the most beloved entrepreneurs of all time. And here's this guy talking about benefits of working with these compounds.
So what was the first psychedelic you used?
So some people don't classify it as a psychedelic, but I took, so I'm reading spirituality. I'm starting to get into like this deeper space. And I took MDMA at a party.
What's MDMA? Did,
pure Molly.
Okay.
MDMA. And I did not have a normal MDMA experience. So I've taken MDMA a ton of times since, maybe 8 more times since. I've not been even remotely close to the first experience. The first time I ever did it, I like broke through into another dimension of life. And I saw like through the veil and saw energy and people's auras and light systems. And
so you've connecting. Seen the Matrix.
I broke through the Matrix. I believe yeah. I did. I mean, I don't know if I really did. I don't know if it was just some weird neuro. I'm not claiming truth
here. No, I'm pretty sure you did because the first time I took the third time I took mushrooms and I upped my dose, it was the same thing. Like I'm in bed. I'm like in my covers and I can see the grid. It was amazing.
Yeah. So I got through. I got through the veil. And it was the thing that was crazy is that it wasn't a hallucination. So sometimes like when you close your eyes and you're doing mushrooms, you see like really intense fractals and hallucinations. This was just like, I was seeing 5D. I was seeing everything as it was, but way more real than it's actually real. And that night was so, and I had a moment too, where I went out onto the patio at this cabin and looked out over into the lake. Cause it was like up in the mountains and I saw this lake and I saw the earth's soul. And I was like, oh, Mother Earth. Like I get like why people, it's like an actual entity. The earth has like its own energy.
And did you have the whole thing where you seen the ground breathe? Cause I seen that.
Yeah. So I've had experiences like that, like on mushrooms, you know, where like everything's kind of breathing and connected. And that's cool. This was just like super high def 5D, everything, like the veil was just peeled back. I can't explain it. It's very, excuse me. It's very like unworldly. It was really intense. And so
yeah, that's probably like when Homer went into the back of his dresser or ottoman, whatever the hell was in the living room. And he went in back there and slipped into another dimension.
Yeah. That's,
ended up
that's
in our world.
That's very much, that's a great analogy. That's very, what's how I felt what happened. And that night left me so upset. It shattered my constructs of reality. Like it blew everything into confetti. Like I had no, I'm like, wow, if that what just happened to me was the most real thing that's ever happened to me ever. If that's true, then I don't know what's true anymore. And so that left me so curious and so awestruck that it like began my journey into like self-healing, which eventually led me to work with, you know, psilocybin. And then eventually I started working with these shamans from the Amazon working with ayahuasca. And then I smoked, you know, the toad. I did 5-MeO DMT and that shit will fuck you up. That shit's crazy. But I don't encourage that one. That one can mess you up. And so, but it really was just really opening up my eyes and really started my journey into really like as corny as it sounds, like this is going to sound super corny, but like the Hallmark cards were right when they said like, you know, self-love is really, really important. I was learning to love myself at a different level.
All right, then.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. Got something in my throat.
Take your time. It's all good.
Yeah.
I got to ask, what's your favorite?
That's such a hard question to ask because it's like each one kind of has their own benefits, right? So favorites just for like recreational or like favorites as in like this is the most transformative or?
All right. Well, why don't you tell us your recreational favorite and then tell us your spiritual favorite, one that you feel has you more in tune with the universe?
Yeah, I think recreationally, which I do very, very rarely, I would say maybe once a year, maybe once every 18 months, I'll do something recreationally. That's like everything has to be lined up. Like my favorite concert with a good group of friends at a cool spot. Like it's something I do for recreation very, very rarely. So I would say just, you know, really good mix of MDMA and MDA, which is a different compound. So MDA and MDMA together is really fun for me because you get the body high of the MDMA, plus you kind of get more of like a psychedelic hallucinogenic with the MDA.
It almost sounds like a bad rock concert.
Yeah. So, I mean, the one time I teed up perfectly was two of my favorite artists. It was Big Wild opening for Odessa in LA 2019. And so kind of like that EDM light show with good MDMA and I had like three of my closest friends with me. So if it has to check all the boxes for me to do it recreationally.
So you're a raver.
I have taken MDMA at an EDM concert in a rave setting one time in my whole life, and that was it. So if that makes me a raver, I'm a raver. That was a really fun time. As far as the most I guess I would say spiritually healing, is definitely ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is very intense. It's a brew. It's something that I would never do alone. It's done in a ceremonial setting with a shaman. It's very intense. Like it's not enjoyable at all. I've done it 10 times. I've had maybe two nights that were enjoyable. The other eight are really, they're difficult. And difficult in the sense of like, it brings up the shit in your life you don't want to talk about. Like the trauma from your childhood and like the difficult moments. Like, you know, I had to fully release and deal with the death of my father.
It's like an angry spouse.
Yeah, it's 20 years of therapy in one night. And so as far as, but I really enjoy it though, because it really helps you get clear on the direction of your life and it helps you heal some of the extra baggage you may have been carrying around. So ayahuasca is very, it's very intense. I don't recommend it for everyone because it is, I've seen people break on it because it's so intense. And as far as like, you really want to go through the veil, like you want to meet God, smoke 5-MeO DMT. Like that'll blast you through the veil so quickly.
MeO DMT? What is that?
So it's 5-MeO DMT. So there's this Sonoran Toad Desert. Google it. Pull it up on the Google.
All right, let me pull it up real quick.
Yeah.
Let's see. What was it? 5, you said?
5-MeO.
MeO?
DMT.
Got it right here. Oh, okay. So it's like licking a toad.
It's the toad. That shit will blast you into another dimension and you will... The first time I ever did it, I swam in infinity with God.
What the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
You swam in infinity with God.
Yes.
I would like to do this, sir.
It's very intense. The second, I will say this though, the second time I did it about a year later. I took so much and I blasted off so far away that when I like came back to Earth, I was so disoriented that I had to get professional help. I had to go see like a true licensed therapist because I was losing a grip on reality. It was actually really scary.
Oh my God.
And I talk about it in my book, Holy Shit, We're Alive. Look at that. Number one bestseller, baby.
Now I know you got about 5 minutes left with us. So before you go and celebrate your win, I need two things from you.
Yep.
I need a guarantee we can do a part two of this because this is getting interesting.
We got to, let's do part two, baby. I would love to.
Perfect. And why don't you tell us a little bit about your book and your website before you go?
Yeah. So this is my new bestseller. I hit number one bestseller in actually eight categories, not just faith and spirituality, but eight of them. It's my journey. I've kind of teased it a little bit. It's the psychedelic sparked spiritual journey of an ex-Mormon millionaire. And I go really in depth with a lot of my psychedelic exploration. I go in really in depth with leaving the Mormon faith, which is a difficult thing. I go really into leaving my job where I had my identity as the king. And it just talks about the insights I've learned along the way. I spent over $100,000 after that June 10th experience on meeting with like spiritual coaches and philosophers and psychologists and therapists and going to Bali and doing yoga and hiring a meditation coach and doing float tanks and doing all the psychedelics. And my book describes my journey along the way. And it talks about me building.
Now what can we find? No, go ahead. It talks about your building.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. And that actually all leads into my company, The Daily Shifts. And so The Daily Shifts is a personal development platform based in mindfulness. We have an app, we have an online course, we have a workbook, and it's all of the information that I wish I would have known when I was going through my midlife crisis at 27. I had no connection to mindfulness, I had no connection to spirituality, I had no connection to gratitude and goal setting. And so I kind of bring all these together.
Like a normal 20-year-old?
Yeah. And it's all the stuff I wish I knew. And so I start trying to share a positive message with everyone else.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for coming and sharing this positive positivity with us. And I hope, like I said, we can come and do a part two. You can educate us a little more on this stuff. It sounds like you had an amazing journey. It sounds like you wrote an amazing book. It sounds like you are in for an amazing win celebration tonight. So thank you again for coming on. And we hope to see you again.
I'll see you soon, Jason. Thank you.
Yes, you will. Thank you. You have a great night.
You too. Thanks, friend.
Welcome to Talking Junk.
I'm your host, Jason Melendez. Live now every week on Friday.